I don't know why. Every so often it'll pop. Could be. I've never had anything happen with my guitar before, but I don't know. Okay. Yeah, let's try that. Yeah. Oh, you don't want to mute it? Oh, you did. Okay. Yeah, in. Collection. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. of you that are joining us online, welcome to you also. This is a no judgment zone. What does that mean? You are a gift from God, and we're grateful that you are here. I'm grateful that I'm here. We want you to worship our Lord and Savior in spirit and truth this morning as you feel comfortable. If you want to stand, stay seated, sing, don't sing. Thank you for joining us. You find in your folder a green connection card, and we ask that you complete that. You'll return that into the buckets when we bring those around at the end of the service, and we'll take up our offering. If this is your first time visiting with us, if you would give us some information about how you found us and maybe contact information, how we can stay in touch with you and share with you the beautiful things that God is doing at Hope on the Beach Church. Also note, for those of you joining us online, you can find the worship bulletin at www.hopeonthebeach, so you can follow along there. We are continuing in the book of Hosea as we are in our life groups. We have the privilege of having the director of ministries, Steve Rice, join us this morning.
Remember those walls that we call sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we call death and grave. And they were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. Would you sing this out this morning?
It goes like this.
And this is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, he beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Remember the fear, remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. And now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. And this is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, He beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all my sins? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Him. This is our God. This is who He is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross. He bore the cross. He beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Oh, I heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. A good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need, but we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Let's sing that again. You are perfect. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. So undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. Your good, good Father, to you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for filling this place with your presence. We thank you for the glory you share, and we pray that now you might speak to our hearts as we hear your word today. And we mostly pray, Father, that our relationship with you deepens. We want to know you. We want to feel you. We want to go from here to be you. And so, Father, speak to our hearts. Lift us to your throne in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to see you this morning. My name's Steve. I don't get to Inlet that much, but I'm always glad when I can. And I am very, very excited for the work that Hope is getting accomplished here in this neck of the woods, as we would say where I come from. So it's good to see you this morning, and so glad to have an opportunity to share with you as we continue to work our way through the book of Hosea. One of the most interesting statements that I've heard more than once concerning the book Hosea is folks have said to me in life groups and other times, I don't recognize the God of the Old Testament. A lot of folks have not been exposed a great deal to the Old Testament. And they do a lot of study in the New Testament. We know our Gospels. But sometimes when we get deeper into the Old Testament, we don't always recognize that God, because we're blessed. We live in 2026. So we are post-cross, post-resurrection. We're post-Pentecost. We have God's full story that we carry in our heart. We carry him with us. We have the Spirit living and indwelling in us. And so when we look at stories like Hosea and Gomer, we're a little confused. But you see, we have to understand that the reason for the cross, the reason for Christ taking our sin, is because as judge, God gave a price for sin. Said it's cost us. There's a penalty to pay for living opposite God's direction. And thankfully for us, that came in the form of his son on Calvary. But prior to Jesus coming, there were requirements put upon the believers, those who wanted to follow God had to do certain things. They had to deal with their sin. And so God starts here in Hosea chapter 5. And we'll read this scripture together. We read Hosea 5 into 6:1, and then we're going to jump to Hosea 14 for the first 7 verses there. Because from here on now, we're going to be looking at God's relationship with Israel. We're kind of done with looking at Hosea and Gomer. He gave us them as a picture of how he feels about Israel. And so we see in that marriage a picture of our relationship with God. And we see that God deals with Israel first as a judge and then a healer. So let's read this. You've got it there in your bulletin along with the blanks that we can fill in as you follow along. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress, earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Accept what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. In you the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I'll be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive, and his fragrance like Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. You see, this is some great news today. Because God's relationship with those of us whose sin begins as a judge, because he's righteous, he's just, he can't even look at sin. He has no relationship with sin, and so he can only punish it. He can only judge it. And so looking at Israel and looking at even at us in the modern day church is every time we cross the Lord, we're reminded that there's a price been paid. He begins as judge, but he calls us to confess our sin. God is judge, but he seeks us. He calls us by name. God comes for us. Now, I'm going to tell you something, beloved. That gets close to some hallelujah ground. The judge comes to save. He is a judge, but also a healer. And so he calls us to confess our sin. He said there in Verse 15, I'm going to return again to my place, that is, on the throne as judge, until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. Until we recognize our sin. And as we confess our sin, you see, point eight says, the God who wounds to heal. In other words, we know God's moving in our heart today as conviction from the Holy Spirit. We know the pain of breaking fellowship with our Father, don't we? We know sin hurts. We know sin cripples us. We know sin breaks our fellowship with the Lord. And He is calling us to confess that. He wounds us only to heal us. In fact, in 1 John, he says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, here's something that I'm not sure every believer understands. Forgiveness is given. It's already there. God has already forgiven. We have to receive it. That's why we talk at Hope about opening hearts. Because the idea is that we have to open our hearts to what God has already done. See, there are many in society today, many in the world today, who think God's mad at them. They think God's angry. They are not sure they want to come to God because they're not trusting how He feels. Well, beloved, I'm going to tell you, I would rather come to God as my Savior than my judge. I would rather see the cross for what it is, and that is that that's taking the punishment intended for me. So how can I look at that God as being angry or mad when in fact He's already paid the price for me? I just have to agree with Him, my sinful condition. In fact, letter B says Gomer's story shows us the natural condition of humanity. We are born in sin. We are by nature in opposition to God. And that's why He comes for us. He comes for us. He put His Son on the cross so that you and I would not have to pay the price for our sin. We would not even have to, catch this, we don't have to continue to sin. Now, I'm going to say that again because some of you are excusing yourself. We do not have to sin. We choose to. We choose to. We don't have to. You say, now, wait a minute, Steve. You just told me I was born into a sinful nature. Uh-huh. And when Jesus comes into your heart and your life, when He begins to indwell you, guess what? You've got His nature now. And so you don't have to sin. You just have to choose who's your king. Who's in charge? Who sits on the throne of your life? You see, God can take a place as judge, but he'd rather be healer. He shed the blood of his son in order to be healer. But for him to be our healer, we must know repentance. God must create repentance. He turns us from false saviors. We do not talk enough, I don't believe, about repenting. Used to, back in the day when I was a mere pup, there was hellfire brimstone preaching. Some of you are nodding your head. You've been there. And there was a principle taught of repenting, which is a very simple, not simple to do, but a very simple process. Repentance is not ashes. It's not sitting in a room, starving myself, cutting myself. It's not hurting. Repentance, are you ready? Here it is. Did you get that? I'll do it in slow motion. Yeah. Repentance is just turning around. Now, what most many people think is that the further they get from sin, the further they sin, deeper in sin, the further they get from God, which is so true. But they also think that when they repent, they've got a long way to go to get back to God. We think of the prodigal son who woke up in the pig slop and had to make his way back to his father. Here's the best news you may hear all day. When I repent, guess where God is? Right there. Right there. I don't have to crawl to him. I don't have to hike back to him. I don't even have to look for him. I don't have to wonder, where did God go? God doesn't stop seeking. God doesn't stop coming for us. And when he creates repentance, when we realize we've been trusting in the wrong things, we begin to turn back to him, which is what he called Israel to do, return to the Lord. When we do that, he's right there waiting for us. Now again, we've had two hallelujah moments and silence. We're going to have to get with it. Okay. We're seeing a picture of God that is glorious. You see, Israel was trusting in false saviors. I gave you a little list there. Israel's list. Here's what they were trusting in. They were trusting in Assyria, which was a political security. They were trusting a neighboring nation. B, they were trusting in their own horses, their own military strength, and the work of our hands, or idolatry. You see, they had their false saviors. And that's why they say in verse 3 that Assyria won't save us. We'll not ride on horses, And we won't call the work of our hands our God anymore. Those were the things they were trusting in. Instead of returning to God, we have our own list. Now, I've listed a few, but you may have your own list. You may want to write them right down here alongside these. These are the things that I think many people trust in. On our list, A, worldly powers. We somehow think the government or the governmental system is going to fix us. It's going to help us. Let me tell you, can I just break your heart? And this isn't political. This is human. We can't fix ourselves. We're not going to get it. I don't care. You can put the best minds in a room and lock them in until they figure it out. They'll never figure it out. Because they can't change our nature. Somebody wise said years ago, you can't legislate morality. We can't fix it. So we shouldn't be trusting in worldly powers. We shouldn't trust in our strength. We can't fix it. We're not strong enough. If we were, we wouldn't do it. Think of a sin that has been habitual in your life. And ask yourself why you haven't been able to just stop on your own. I've challenged people through the years. Take your day, swing yourself out of bed, and tell yourself, from this moment, I am not going to sin today. And see how long you can last. Some of you will sin right after that thought. You'll at least sin before breakfast. Some of us sin during breakfast. It's called gluttony. We can't not sin. We don't have the capability. We're not strong enough. We can't trust in our own strength. We can't trust in our works. The Bible's very clear that our works aren't going to get us there. Now, it says also that our faith without works is dead. In other words, works are to be produced in our life. We're to live for Jesus. We're to work His preordained will for our lives. But our being changed by His blood is first. We don't work our way to salvation. Salvation puts us to work. We're to be equipped for what He wants us to do. We can't trust in our works. And this may really break your heart. We can't trust in our wisdom. Because some of us think we're pretty smart cookies. And we have seen wisdom. We have seen folks trust in their own wisdom. I have had people, when I have shared Christ with them, tell me, you know, preacher, I'm just not ready for that. I'm going to figure it out. And I just look at them and good luck. Can I tell you now, you're not going to figure it out. And when you figure out you're not going to figure it out, would you call me? And we'll talk some more. We can't trust in our own wisdom. So the question comes down to, where do we run first? Where are we trusting? Where are we going? God was challenging Israel to give up all the things they were trusting and to return to the Lord. Repent. Make that turnaround from practicing this to turn around and begin to live for the Lord. It may take a lot to make that turn. It may take a lot to stop us in our tracks and reverse our direction. I'm not telling you that's going to be easy. I'm not telling you it's going to come quickly. But what I am telling you is, with Christ in your heart, God's blood covering your life, it can be done. We will change. In fact, the scripture says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. The greatest news we could ever learn ourselves or share with someone else is found in chapter 14. Verses 4 to 7. Number 3, where God offers mercy and healing. Now, beloved, I'm going to tell you, that's big news. We have got to come to appreciate God's mercy and to think how grateful we should be that we have God's mercy. That simply just means I don't get what I've got coming to me. Mercy is God withdrawing His hand as judge and wanting to enter my life as a healer. Mercy is God's love. Mercy is, as we sang, He's a good, good Father. That's our mercy. And a healer. You see, God sustains us. He sustains us. Listen to John 15. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The change, the salvation, the repentance, the reversal of my life is all wrapped up in abiding in Christ. I walk with Him. Galatians says that if we live in the Spirit, we should stay in step with the Spirit. Stay in step. This day belongs to God. It's not mine, it's His. And it's my responsibility to be open to Him, to leave my heart open and to hear Him, and let Him heal. You see, through God's healing, we grow in His righteousness. Now, a lot of people think righteousness is just doing the right thing. It's even better than that. Righteousness is my standing before God. It's my position. It's where I stand before Him. And because of His healing, I receive His righteousness. In other words, my standing before God turns from a sinner in need of a Savior to someone who has been covered by the blood of Christ, and I have a right standing before God. That's why I don't have to worry about the day I meet Him. I don't have to fret over what's going to happen. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm thinking there's going to be a ton of music. Don't you? I'm thinking gazillions of angels, probably pretty loud. So those of you that don't like loud music, I pity the fool. It's going to get tough for you because God's glory is going to be at the top of their lungs. Now, here's the beauty of having Christ in our life is as we get to glory, we get to join right in. I was at the side of a dying man one time, and I was holding his hand. And he was laying, his eyes had been closed. And he laying there looking up, he opened his eyes. And he began singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And his hand went limp. I will never forget that. To go from here to there, already singing. He was already a verse into whatever holy they were singing. He was in it. Listen, we have a right standing before God. His glory will be our glory because of what Christ does in our lives. He promised it to Israel if they would return to Him, and He promises it to us as we trust the salvation given in His Son. You see, Corinthians tells us, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Say that again three times. So we could become the righteousness of God. Sin gone, righteousness here. I stand before Him righteous. That's your third shot. I stand before Him righteous. Yeah, here we go. We're getting there. Listen. God promises, let her see, we finish. God promises. He promised these to Israel and He promises them to us. Heal, love, restore, and cause them to flourish. God promises us healing, love, to restore us to our right place so that we can flourish. God has promised these things to us. Look how different our life can be with our memory verse. Let's say it together. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we begin dead in our sin. God is our judge. And through Christ, we change to be healed and to stand righteous before Him. That's God's promise. That's what God does for each of us. My prayer is for you today is that you know the miracle that God is willing to work in your life. I invite you to open your heart to the love of Christ today. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy. We pray that as you have spoken to us today, we might hear you. We might receive what you offer to us today, that we might take our place as righteous before you. Touch our lives today. May we know you more deeply today. May we receive you today. Thank you for the work you do in our lives. In Jesus' name. And let's pray as we've been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
That is a hallelujah and amen. Every time that we hear the word of God, it says his promises are true. It never returns void. And those of you that sit around me know that I'm a note taker. And I love just to hear the word of God. And thank you so much, Steve. We will walk away changed, because that's what Jesus does. We've come to that time in our worship service to take up our offerings and our expression of our love. We can never outgive God. You have an envelope in your worship folder. Also on the back of the worship bulletin, there is a couple of other ways to give your offerings there. Remember to complete your connection card and put it in the offering bucket. We have an opportunity, not just at Hope on the Beach Church, but on the 27th and the 28th, Feed My Starving Children, the mobile pack, where they're packing meals for starving children. I was looking at some the data on that and on their website, and it's staggering. And children that are ages 5, I have a grandson that's age 7. For him to miss a meal, it would just devastate me. And you can find information on the flyer that you've been handed out this morning. You have an opportunity in Bay County to assist with that on the 27th and the 28th. We have a lot of things going on at Hope on the Beach Church. Coming up also on the 28th at our 98 campus is the Women of Hope Card and Coffee and Cards. This is a beautiful way to bless our future pastors. It's a time where we're going to fellowship, have a cup of coffee, fill out some greeting cards of appreciation, encouragement to them. We're asking that you bring a gift card, Walmart gift card of $25, so that we can drop it in those cards and bless those pastors that are in seminary in St. Louis. Also, we have a night of worship coming up on March 13th at our 98 campus. Dinner will be at 5:30 and the worship time at 6:30. Now let us continue our worship.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go, and I see it now. I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I'll run to the Father, I'll fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. No, I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. I need you. I'll run to the Father, I'll fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. I'll run to the Father, I'll fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I'm run to the Father again and again and again and again. Whoa. And again and again and again. Whoa. And again and again and again. Let me give the blessing this morning as we leave, as we depart. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. And all of God's people said, amen. You have a blessed day in the Lord.